When was the last time you locked yourself out of your dorm room, your house, your apartment? What do I do now? Or have you ever peered through your car window to see the key safely ensconced in the ignition, but you are lost on the outside? Minor inconveniences when measured against all of the real problems of life. But oh, how important at those moments was the key. Take the imagery a step further, if you will. What must it really be like to be a hostage in Iran for over a year? You've heard the expression, lock the door and throw away the key? I wonder how many of those hostages are beginning to believe that that is what has happened. In church history, we have some parallels. How about those Christians huddled in the dungeons of Rome awaiting martyrdom? Now come one desolate step further with me. Imagine pitch darkness in a damp, ugly cell. You are alive, but alone. You have no help and no hope. You are awaiting your captors who will torture and kill you. You cry out in desperation to your God, but he neither hears you nor helps you. We are told that if you visit Warwick Castle in England, a flight of 27 narrow steps will take you from an inner courtyard to the dungeon. Inside, only a small window allows a narrow ray of light to penetrate the darkness. But the feeling of gloom, it is said, is nothing compared to that of the second dungeon, reached by a short passageway from the first. The only opening in it is an iron grate which measures 2 foot square in the floor. Prisoners were squeezed inside and forced to lie flat on their back, the grate above their heads and the stone encasing their bodies in solitary confinement. Over the years, that dungeon was called Insanity Dungeon because of what it could quickly do to a human being. An extreme picture of life without light, without hope, a dungeon truly of despair. By now you have drawn the obvious lessons of these illustrations. Life separate from God is a dungeon, a prison cell without hope, unless you have the key. And Jesus Christ is that key. The only one who can open the doors to eternal life, which no man can shut. That's a correct deduction from my true beginnings at interpreting the thoughts from this morning's antiphon. Thoughts taken from verses in the books of Isaiah, Luke, and Revelation. But permit me to take you one step closer to mortality, rather than one step further down the road to eternity. Permit me to remind you that there's also a dark side to this life, which is very real. A virtual prison cell for which men and women also need the key. 100,000 childhood deaths each year, and triple that number of injured children due to child abuse. Abortion on demand. Rehabilitation centers filled with drug addicts and alcoholics. Starvation rampant. Myriads of lives filled with unending loneliness and intense pain. Without a loving word or a little encouragement. Children whimper. Men and women plead for justice. Sin seems to be closing every door. Where is the key? O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, who openeth doors and none can shut them, who closeth portals and none can open them, come, and from his cell lead forth the captive who sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. this life have you had doors opened and closed to you, seemingly beyond your control? Perhaps there have been times when you thought you had a key to your education, to the heart of your loved one, to that special job or career, only to have that door slammed shut. And you have asked, why, Lord? Men can open and shut doors on you if they wish, but only as such actions fit God's plan and God's will for you. Undoubtedly, you have had other doors open to you without knowing why, without even recognizing them as doors at the time. Doors to another life, or to another career opportunity. Perhaps even that glorious door to ministry wherein God will use you to tell the prisoners of this life about the key to their success. Be they examples of mortality or eternity, of human evil or divine good, we are especially mindful during this Advent season that we too were by nature among them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. But when the Christ child came, the King of David and the house of Israel, a new day dawned, and we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. A Savior came to remove our personal load of sin which burdened us. He paid for that sin with his very life. The portals were thrown open wide for us, doors to green pastures and still waters. And as we know so well this morning, possibly for some, soon to the valley of the shadow. And doors are being opened to servanthood and to service, to the ministry of proclamation and reconciliation through word and sacrament. We, like the rest of the world, needed the dawn of a new day, and it has come, and it is coming. What doors are being opened and closed for us in this life? Who knows for certain but God? Yet of some things we are most certain, that Jesus Christ came to give us and all believers life, and to make it more abundant. The future on earth will not be perfect, but what an improvement over what it might have been. We who were prisoners of sin, with God's law even shutting the door to him, we have been delivered by the key, Jesus Christ. And with all humility, at all times, and especially during these Advent days, we are privileged to help tell that gospel message. There is a striking parallel to this Old Testament imagery of the power of the key laid over the shoulders of him whom Yahweh has chosen. The power of the office of the key in the New Testament promise and authority given to Peter. And again in Revelation 3:7, where this passage is directly quoted as uttered by the exalted Lord, who at the coming of the final age opens the way to the heavenly house. The verse immediately following our gospel reading today, the last verse of Luke 1, ends with these words about John. As the child grew up, he became strong in spirit. He lived out in the wilds until the day when he appeared publicly before Israel. We see, during every day of grace given us by the Lord, continuing the process of growing up. And there is no doubt that we are still living in the wild, and we will live in those wilds until that day when Jesus Christ himself appears in glory. But each day, through word and through sacrament, we can become stronger in spirit, a strength made possible for us by our God who has kept his promise with the gift of his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus, who was promised, was born for us, lived and died for us, grows for us and continues to make his power useful in our lives. So come now and receive his body, his blood, thus growing still stronger in spirit and in will for ministry.